this series is so that our lives can change. We're going to be looking at the parable in Mark 4. In fact, we're not just going to look at the parable of the sower before we're done. And I don't know how many weeks this is going to take. It'll just take as long as it takes. We're going to be looking at the Mark 4 parables because they are very, very powerful. So if you got your Bible, turn with me today to Mark chapter 4. We've called this series Grounded. Grounded. How many of you know we need to be grounded in our faith? Not only do we need to be grounded in our faith, we need to be grounded in our walk with God. It's more than what you believe about something that's important. It has to do with what you believe and what you walk in. You can say you believe something, but if it hasn't changed your life, do you really believe it? I believe that's the question. If you say you believe something and it hasn't changed your life, do you really believe it? And I think we need to, and I think knowledge and revelation and all of that's important. But revelation that has no manifestation to it, no manifestation in the flesh. See, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And the reason that Jesus came in the flesh is to reflect the glory of the Father. And the reason that God saved us and left us here in the flesh is so that His Word can become flesh in us and we can reflect the glory of the Father. That's what we're all about. We are to reflect the glory of God. And I only know of one thing that can change your life. And that's the applied Word of God. It's not the word that you know, it's the word that you do. You have to know it and then you have to do it. And as you begin to do that and you begin to walk it out, then God begins to get glory in your life. See, we call this fruit. The parable of the sower is about fruit bearing. And Christians should be fruitful. And when we lift up Jesus in our lives, when we really truly lift up Jesus in our lifestyle, the way that we live, God uses our lifestyle and our influence to draw people to us. One of the biggest complaints that people use, and sometimes it's an excuse, but sometimes there's some reality to it. It says those Christians, they profess a whole bunch, but they walk in very little. We don't need that to be said about us. I don't want that to be said about me. Now, I fall short. I don't know about you. I'm plagued with that falling short stuff. Okay? I think we all have that. We all have the falling short. But I want to be growing. I want to be increasing. I don't want to ever come to a place in my life that I just quit growing. Because I cease to be effective when I do. See, it's not what you have been that counts. It's who you are now. It's not what you have done. It's what you're doing now. Because the Christian life ought to be ongoing, ongoing. You don't get to get old and quit in the Christian life. You need to be growing until the day that you draw your last breath. Your relationship with God needs to be that strong that you're continually growing all the days of your life. It's very easy for us to think, well, you know, I've been in this a long time. I've done a lot of things. It's time for me to step back. It's not time for you to step back. I love the story Rick Bezette tells about getting to go and visit with Dr. Billy Graham. And I'm going to tell it again because I think it fits in right here. Billy Graham is in the last stages of his life. I don't know how old he is now. He's probably in his 80s. He has Parkinson's disease. And he knows he's on his way out. In fact, he told him that he's in his last days. And Rick and I think Dino Rizzo got to go in and sit and visit with Dr. Graham. And Dr. Graham prayed for them while they were there. And then they ask him, says, is there anything that we can pray for you? And he says, yes, pray that I finish strong. Pray that I finish strong. Let me ask you something. Who has won more people to Jesus Christ than Billy Graham? Who has more modeled a Christ-like attitude before the American public than Billy Graham? Who has been more influential in the Christian circles? Who has prayed with more presidents and had more influence than Billy Graham? He has had a tremendous ministry that's full of integrity. He has modeled Christ-likeness to us. And his prayer is this: pray for me that I finish strong. If anybody had a right to coast, he probably would. But that's not his attitude. He wants to finish strong. Do you want to finish strong today? I mean, are you at a place in your life that you're coasting spiritually? Maybe you really used to do things for God and you were involved and you're thinking, oh yeah, let's let the younger generation do something now. Wait a minute. We have eternal life. We have eternal life. We always need to be doing something for the kingdom. Something for the kingdom. And you know, all the days of my life, I will not always pastor this church. But I always want to be doing something for God. I want to be hooked up. I want to be growing. And if that is going to happen, there's only one way it happens. It's constantly putting the Word in your heart, coming into the knowledge of the Word, being a doer of the Word, and that Word begins to unfold. You can only grow so far with knowledge. You can grow to a level with just knowledge. But when you begin to do what you know, it opens the door and you grow beyond that. Experience brings you into a place like you'll grow nowhere else. They told us in Bible school. I went to Bible school for a year. And they said, you will learn twice as much once you begin doing this than you were when you were here. And that's so true. The experience that you get as you begin to walk the Word out, it opens so many areas of understanding and new areas of growth in your life. Do you know why some Christians get in a spiritual roller coaster ride? They're up and down and up and down. They're encouraged and discouraged. Most of the time it has to do that they quit growing. We never need to quit growing. Okay, go with me to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. These are the parables. What is a parable? You know, a parable is a short tale that illustrates a universal truth. It's a short tale that illustrates a universal truth. This parable of the sower is a key parable. This is the parable that unlocks the rest of the parables. In fact, Jesus said to them before he explained it to them, he says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? This is a key parable. I'm big with this seed time and harvest stuff. It is a law. It's the law of Genesis. It goes all the way back to the law of Genesis. God set it into the natural that everything produces after its own kind. The fruit with the seed in itself. You have seed within you. And how do we reproduce? It's from the seed that's within us. Everything produces after its own kind. That's the law of Genesis. That's what he's talking about here. Psalms 1 talks about the blessed man. And talks about the man who considers and meditates in the law of the Lord. It says he shall make his way prosperous. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water and his fruit will come forth in season. We have to have the Word in us for the fruit to come forth. See, we don't believe here that you can earn your salvation. We don't believe that you can work and get salvation. But we believe that if you are saved, that you ought to be producing fruit. Year after year after year, and your fruit ought to get better and better and more plentiful all the days of your life. Can you say amen? All right. That's a good amen for the first crowd. Again, Jesus began. This is verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach. You know, Jesus taught he teached the same thing over and over and over and over again. How many times in the Bible does it say, and again I say unto you, and again I say unto you, and again I say unto you? Do you know that you don't get everything on the first go around? I have meditated and meditated and meditated on this parable. And I see things different in it all the time. I see new things that I haven't seen before. That's the way the Word of God is. It's kind of like an onion. It's multi-layered. But you never get to the core. You never exhaust the Word of God. There's so much in the Word of God. And it's awesome. But again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. And a very great crowd gathered about Him to see that He got into the ship in order to sit in the sea. And the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. And He taught them many things in parables. And in His teaching, He said to them, notice what He said to them, give attention to this. Behold, give attention. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed of the same kind. Now, this is the Amplified brings this out. It wasn't different kinds of seed that were sown in the different kinds of soil. It was all the same seed that was sown in the different kinds of soil. The subject of this, there's two subjects of this thing. Number one, it's the seed, and number two, it's the kind of ground it was sown in. And we'll get into that. And as he was sowing, some seed fell among the path, and the birds ate it up. Other seed of the same kind fell on ground full of rocks, where it had not much earth, and at once it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among the thorns, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked, suffocated, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times as much and 60 times as much and even 100 times as much as had been sown. This is so full of truth. This is so full of truth that we need to take some time and go through this. Today we're going to talk about the hard soil. That's the first one we're going to talk. We're going to take each kind of soil and we're going to talk about them and we're going to go into some things. Now, the first thing it says in verse 14 is As Jesus began to explain this, look down in verse 14. One thing that he says, he says, the sower. Now, one thing it says about the sower, it doesn't say who the sower is. And that's all, I guess that would be open for discussion. Who is the sower? Some people say, well, Jesus is the sower. He is the one who sowed it in the parable. Ultimately, Jesus is the sower because ultimately, Jesus is the Word, isn't He? Okay, so ultimately, Jesus is the sower. We could say today that I'm the sower. The preacher's the sower. And you know, we could find a precedent for that in Scripture, or we could say any time you hear the Word of God, whoever's preaching the Word of God is the sower. But let me say something to you. The primary sower in your life needs to be you. The primary sower in your life needs to be you. Because it goes on to say, it says, the sower sows the Word. That is a powerful statement. The sower, that stood out to me strong. The sower sows the Word. And who should be the primary sower of the Word into your heart? It should be you. It should not be me. It should be you. See, here's a fallacy. And this is one of the fallacies of our kind of church. Because in most of our kind of churches, you know, we have three or four services a week, and we come in and the preacher preaches, and you sit and listen to the Word, and you get up and go home. You have nothing invested in it other than somebody has prepared it and preached it to you. And honestly, most people never read the Bible for themselves. If there was a survey, and there has been surveys of how many Christians actually study the Bible for themselves, it is very low. And one of the reasons that we have not produced disciplined followers of Jesus Christ is some of it has to do with the format in which we do church. It's all about the preacher preaching to the people. They have nothing invested in it. But when you begin to get into the Word for yourself and you become the primary sower into your own heart, when you invest into your own heart, guess what? Your return on that sowing is going to be better. Well, I don't understand the Word. I understand that. There's some parts of the Word I don't understand. But you know what? If you've been born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have the capacity to understand the Bible. You know, and there are enough translations out there that we have no excuse not to understand the Bible. There's enough commentaries out there to help us that we don't have any excuse not to discover what truth is. Now, we're never going to understand the whole Bible. It's too vast. It's just too vast. But there's so much in there that it's applicable to us in this life that we can understand it and we can walk in it and we can increase and increase and increase and increase in our lives if we'll just do it. The sower sows the Word. And the ones along the path are those who have the Word sown in their hearts. But when they hear it, Satan comes at once by force, takes away the message which is sown in them. Now that word wayside, I gotta go fast here. The word wayside there is the Greek word hodos, or hodos. I'm not a good at pronouncing Greek words. But basically it means wayside. A travel road, a traveler's way, traveling or journey. Metaphorically speaking, it's talking about something else. A course of conduct. A course of our life. Many times in the Bible, it talks about the way, the course, the road, the path. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a course of life. See, you choose your course of life. And the course of your delight, the course of life that you choose will determine how the seed is harvested in your heart. Nobody chooses your life for you. You choose your course of life. Now what we need to do is learn what the proper course of life is. God does have a road for us that is a blessed road. It's a road that He proved, that He walked, that He knows. He's all-knowing and He knows what the correct road is. God didn't give us the Ten Commandments because He's a party pooper. He sees the end results of some of those things. And He knows that they kill, steal, and destroy. He knows that His road has life and life abundantly. He is a life-giving God. This is a life-giving church. And that's what we want to be about. Showing people the way of life. Now, so really what this is talking about is a way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. That's what your heart is all about. There's several things you do in your heart. You think, you feel, and you decide. We make decisions. Nobody makes decisions for you. You make decisions for yourself. So what we're dealing with is our mental process. The way that we hear, the way that we filter, and the way that we think. Hear, filter, and think. Did you know that you better, because you're going to hear lots of stuff, you better have a filter. You better be able to filter out some things. Because if you don't filter everything that comes into your mind, your thinking will be corrupt. And when your thinking becomes corrupt, guess what kind of seed is sown into your heart? The wrong kind of seed. And guess what kind of harvest you're going to have in your life? It's going to be the wrong kind of life. It's going to be destructive. God gave us this book to teach us how to think right. We can get our hearts right with Him through what Jesus did on the cross. But still, that it doesn't end there. You've got to put this Word in you because it'll change the way that you think. And when you change the way that you think, and your heart is your thinker, your feeler, and your decider. And how you do that determines the harvest that you'll have. Well, this first kind of ground is called hard ground. It's a roadside. It would be like scattering seed on the highway out here. What kind of production is there going to be on the highway out here? None. But what's going to happen to the seed that's on the highway out here or out here on the parking lot? The birds are going to come and get it. You know why the bird comes and gets it? And the Bible says that the bird is Satan. You know why? You know why Satan steals the word as fast as he can? Because he knows that if that seed stays there long enough and some dirt, good dirt gets to it, it's going to produce. Because the seed is designed to produce. The seed of God is designed to produce the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? What has Jesus said? He says the kingdom of God is where? People say it's over here, it's over there, it's up there. He says the kingdom of God's where? It's within you. It's within you. How is that kingdom released within you? Well, you're born into that kingdom. There's the kingdom is there when you're born again. But how do we bring that kingdom out? How do we get it from the inside to the outside? It's the seed of the Word of God that's planted in our hearts that we begin to act out. But what if our heart is hard? What if our heart is hard? Well, then it's not going to produce, is it? Well, you know, God gave us the ability to harden our hearts. And I think initially that was a good thing because there's some things that you need to harden your heart to. You have the ability to harden your heart. You have the ability to soften your heart. When you hear something that's not right, you should harden your heart to that. Why? Because you don't want that to fall into the good ground of your heart because you don't want that producing in your life. We call that the filter. So hardness of heart is not always a bad thing when we're hardening it to the wrong things. But our natural inclination, sometimes as Christians and even carnal Christians or people who don't know the Word, is that we don't harden our hearts to the wrong things, but we harden our hearts to the right things. And there's several things in our lives that causes us to harden our hearts. And this is so important. See, you have the power to determine what your heart accepts and rejects. And you better be doing both. Because it comes through your eye gates and your ear gates. You hear stuff that causes thoughts. The enemy, how many of you know that the enemy has seeds too? The enemy has a bag full of seed. God's got the good seed. The enemy's got the death seed, okay? He likes his seed to be planted. So, we get thoughts sometimes that we need to harden our hearts to. But it's very easy because of other things for us to harden our hearts to God and not harden our hearts to the wrong thing. Proverbs 28:14 says this, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief," and that's bad or evil. When we harden our heart against God, we're headed for mischief, bad or evil. God will never lead you into bad or evil. His seed will never produce bad or evil in you. It will only produce the good stuff. One of the things that causes us to harden our hearts is called stubbornness. We got any stubborn people here? You didn't have to raise your hand. But stubbornness is one of the things that causes us to harden our hearts. See, every one of us has a personality. And it's in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind is your logic process. Your will is your choosing. Okay? The way that you choose. Your emotions, you know what that is. That's the way that you feel. And most of us have one part of that that helps make, is the strong part of our personality. Some of us are willful. Okay? That's a good and bad thing. Usually your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. Okay? But being willful, you know, I will, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Hey, that's willful. That's good. But God says something to us and we harden our hearts. That's not good. Emotions are good. We need feeling, don't we? But if you're ruled by feeling, guess what? You get in trouble. Your mind, your logic. Logic is a good thing. But you know what? You can logic God out of some stuff if you're not careful. So your greatest potential is also your greatest weakness. So one of these is stubbornness, and this is the bad side of that. It says in Proverbs 29:1, "He that often being reproved hardened his neck," and that means his heart, "shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Stubbornness can get you into trouble. It can cause you to harden your heart. Somebody said, you know, has anybody got any willful children here? Has anybody got any willful children? And you say, "You will make your bed. I'll show you." And you just see it rise up in them. Stubborn. They don't like to be told stuff. Most of us don't like to be told to do stuff, do we? And when God says, "Don't do this," and you think, that stubbornness comes up. Do you know your stubbornness can kill you? Your stubbornness can kill you. You can choose to be stubborn, or you can choose to be submissive. So let's not be stubborn, because stubbornness is a thing that will cause you to harden your hearts. Another one is pride. Everybody say pride. The story of Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament. He had a great kingdom. And there was great things going on in his kingdom. And he refused to give God the glory. And you know what? Because of his pride, and it says, you can read it later, Daniel 5:18-21. That said he hardened his heart. And he wound up eating with the wild animals, eating grass with the wild animals because of his pride. Because he hardened his heart because of his pride, it was his downfall. Wow. Pride. What does the Bible say about pride? Pride goes before a fall. Your pride. Well, you know, I'm a man. You know, you're full of pride. We don't understand manhood anyway, but that's later. Another one is relationship with people. Are you ready for this one? Matthew 19:7-9, they asked Jesus a question about divorce one time. And they said to him, "Why then did..." they asked him, he said, "Is it okay for me to divorce my wife?" Well, that question is being asked and answered a lot in these times. There's a lot of divorce going on in the world right now. But they asked Jesus, "Is it okay for a man to divorce his wife?" And he's not too much in favor of that. And then they said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." Relationships with people sometimes causes us to harden our hearts. I remember years ago we had a flood. It was 81 or 82 in Batesville. Batesville flooded. There was a period of time that you didn't get in or out of Batesville. And there was a bunch of stuff donated. And they asked the ministers in the area to disperse. We were dispersing beds and food and money. I mean, there was just a bunch of stuff. Well, come to find out there were people coming to us and getting stuff and taking it somewhere else and selling it in the yard sale. That just makes you want to harden your heart and not help anybody, because some people are that way. So relationships can cause you to harden your hearts about certain things. You get on the outs with somebody. You can harden your hearts towards a person. And when you hear the word, you know, the Bible says to love. Yeah, but. And you harden your heart because you're in a strained relationship with somebody. When you harden your heart towards people, do we not also harden our hearts toward God? If we can't forgive the people that we're supposed to love the most, like our spouse, how can we really walk in the true love of God like we should? So when we just run out and get divorces and stuff like that, are we not, because of the hardness of our heart, is it not reflective of some other things in our lives that are just not what they need to be? Now, I'm not here trying to condemn anybody that's been through that. We've had several. But what I'm saying, that relationships with people, strained relationships with people, can cause us to harden our hearts, and the Word won't produce in us like it should. Oh, you mean I got to get along with people? I got to love people? Guess what? I say this often. The relationship this way is reflected with the relationship this way. Because if this is not right, maybe this is not right. I love God, but I hate black people. I love God, but I don't like women. I love God, but I hate men. Hardness of heart. Oh my. Another one is rebellion. Remember the children of Israel? You know why they didn't get to enter the promised land? It was because of their rebellion. Their rebellion caused them to harden their heart. The Word will not produce in a rebellious heart. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, they became so unpersuadable that they got into hardness of heart. They could not believe God because of the hardness of their heart. They became unpersuadable, and it's called unbelief. Unbelief. Folks, unbelief is not a good thing to be in. Here's one more, then we're going to close with this. It's called religion. There's a story in Mark 3, 1 through 6. It's about the man with the withered hand. And he comes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And the religious people were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal him or not. Now, according to the Jewish law, the Jewish tradition, it was improper to do anything on the Sabbath day. Imagine that. You could only walk so many steps on the Sabbath day. There's certain things that you couldn't do on the Sabbath day. And they were so caught up into this. And here's this man with this withered hand. And they're standing around to see what Jesus would do. And Jesus said to the withered man, "Step forward." And he said to them, because he knew what was in their heart. He looks around and says, "Is it lawful? Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do evil?" He cut to the crux of the matter right there. Do we do good or do evil on the Sabbath day? To save life or to kill. But they kept silent. You know why? Because they'd hardened their heart. Their tradition was stronger in them than their compassion. Their religious teaching had brought them into a place that they could not hear or would not hear the Word of God. So when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. They had rather for that man to keep a withered hand than to be healed on the Sabbath day. Now what's up with that? It's called hardness of heart. Sometimes we don't want God to bless other churches because they're not our kind. Hey, Compass Church is launching their services today. God bless them. Pray for them. Let's pray for their success. Let's pray for their growth. Yeah, but they're not our kind. What do you mean they're not our kind? Are they Christian? We hope they're Christian. Okay? Are they God ordained? God knows that. But I want to bless them. Yeah, but they're not of our... You know, let's get the hardness of our heart away from that kind of stuff. Let's don't allow religion to harden our hearts. You know what Jesus did? He said, "Stretch forth your hand." And it became just like the other. The power of God was able to work through Jesus because he didn't have hardness of heart. Do you think they could have done that? No, why? Because their heart was hard. See, you choose whether you're going to harden your heart or not. I'll say it again. You have the power to determine what your heart accepts or rejects. You can soften your heart by choice, or you can harden your heart by choice. It's up to you. Learn to be hard about things that are wrong and soft about things that give life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.